So what might fund all those things that students and schools need to get beyond the losses of this year? For once, that question comes with a pretty clear answer. With us to talk about the bigger picture is Kobe Levin, reporter for Chalkbeat Detroit. Kobe, welcome back to Stateside.
Thanks so much for having me.
So these recommendations that the council is putting forward, how do they compare with what you've been hearing from teachers and students and their families and administrators all through the past year?
You know, it's been a huge struggle for everybody. It's pretty easy, I think, given just how widespread these challenges have been, to write down on a report that teachers don't feel like they're succeeding and connecting with students the way that they normally do. That students have been thrown for a loop. That parents are struggling. It's, I think, much more difficult to actually begin to address those problems. I mean, we've been getting into this mess for more than a year, thanks to the coronavirus. And it will take at least that long to begin to make things better. The good news, though, is that the state and its schools are going to receive a really significant amount of federal funding to help make some of these improvements and supports available for folks.
Yeah, like you mentioned, Kobe, this is a pretty unusual time. Schools actually have a big chunk of change to spend. The American Recovery Act from the federal government included $125 billion for K-12 education nationwide. Can you talk about what Michigan's piece of that pie is and how the report suggests investing that money?
Sure. So in total, in addition to the American Recovery Act, which came through the Biden administration, plus money that came through during the last year of the Trump administration, Michigan schools will get something like $6 billion. That is, for folks who are maybe not following the school budget closely, a huge amount of money. It's the largest single investment in schools ever. And especially because school budgets haven't been cut sharply during the pandemic, as many feared they would, it represents an opportunity for schools to begin doing things that they just weren't doing before, that they didn't have the resources to do. Of course, those additional maybe staff people, those additional resources and materials for students are especially badly needed now. I'll get into some of the specifics that this report talks about, because it does say explicitly that schools should consider investing the money that they're going to get from the federal government in things like high dosage tutoring. So that's putting an adult, maybe even one-on-one with the students who've fallen furthest behind, which is expensive. There's a lot of evidence to show that one-on-one tutoring is really effective. It works for students, but it's not easy to get down to that kind of adult to student ratio. Districts, though, will have some money to do that. They'll also have the funds to increase the numbers of counselors, social workers, school psychologists, and nurses. That's another key recommendation from this panel. You know, we've had ratios of those kinds of support staff well below the recommended amount. And yet, any teacher will tell you that students have a wide range of needs that can't be addressed by one person at the front of the classroom. Students come in with health needs. They have mental health needs. Their families may need to be connected with social services. And without adults in school buildings who can address those problems, teachers end up having to bear the brunt of it. And that comes at a cost for student learning. So this is an opportunity for schools to up staff in the, according to this this panel that was appointed by Governor Gretchen Whitmer.
So to the extent that some of Michigan schools are already spending the money, Kobe, how much do you see their spending patterns lining up with what the report is suggesting we do?
I think it's a little bit too early to say. Schools have just begun to submit plans for this kind of spending. June is the month where most districts will set their budgets for the coming school year. And so that will be a key decision point. They have begun to spend some of the federal funds on things like improvements to their ventilation systems, on personal protective equipment, and other COVID mitigation strategies. But in terms of the recovery, I think that remains to be seen. But definitely, I mean, if you're thinking about this, there's no better way to get a deeper look at what's happening in your own community than to go to your school board meeting. talk to your school board, talk to your superintendent and school district staff, because they are going to have significant power to determine how a really large chunk of federal aid is spent.
So the push for infrastructure spending in Michigan schools with this explosion of federal money, can you tell us a little bit more about the need for that?
Sure. So Michigan is one of a handful of states in the U.S. that does not provide direct funding from state coffers to school infrastructure. So that means repairs to school buildings, new gyms, you know, all the stuff that communities like to have. The way that communities make up for that is by taxing themselves. Through local taxes, they make renovations, make improvements, they get the facilities that they want. The trouble is that not all communities can afford the same level of taxes, and not all communities have the property values that allow them to raise enough money to really invest in their schools. So if we look across the state, there's a huge level of inequity. Wealthier communities have nicer schools. Communities with lower incomes have schools that are often falling apart, that badly need investment. Now, the federal aid is going to go proportionately more to our communities with high levels of child poverty. And that could help some of those schools make improvements that they've been putting off for a really long time.
Yeah. And the depth of the need, I mean, when you think about schools that you've visited, I mean, what kinds of infrastructure issues are we talking about? Something like a new boiler for a building or an entirely new building? I mean, what's the depth of what districts are considering or might consider?
So let's see, the superintendent in Hamtramck, who I spoke with about this, said that they were going to be able to go ahead and both make really significant renovations and even build some new facilities for students who were in portable classrooms.
Oh, wow.
And in Detroit, I mean, there's been a really significant pending bill. A few years ago, it was $500 billion for improvements. It may have gone up somewhat since then. And they're going to be able to make a pretty significant dent in those needed repairs to basic functions, you know, things like building plumbing, boilers, like you mentioned, and maybe even constructing some new schools where schools have gone completely out of date.
So not all of the plans that school districts are submitting or are talking about submitting are things that they can do by themselves. And I understand that some of them would require some help from the state legislature. Can you walk us through that?
Right. Well, one of the basic things is that a lot of families are still saying that they'd like their students to learn virtually in the fall. This may be, because families have particular health needs. It may be just because they're particularly cautious about the coronavirus. One way or another, though, they don't have permission. Districts do not have permission at this point from the state legislature to do that. They were given special permission last year, but it's still somewhat controversial, especially on the Republican side. Folks are really pushing against virtual instruction. So it remains to be seen whether districts will be allowed to offer a virtual instruction option for families that want it.
Kobe, $6 billion is a lot of money. Do you see the federal cash being transformative over the long term, or maybe more as a bridge back to the old normal?
It depends. It depends on whether it's spent effectively, of course. It also depends on whether school districts are able to find investments that will really last. Now, you'll hear a lot of superintendents, school business officials say that in fact, the infrastructure approach, that paying for improvements to buildings is a great way to do that. You pay for a building now that lasts 30 years, especially in communities where the school facilities are crumbling. That's a really good thing to do. I mean, students need high quality school buildings in order to learn. At the same time, it would be transformational if the state used this funding to help students get back on their feet, to help them recover from this incredibly difficult year. I mean, the coronavirus and the chaos that it's caused has been transformational in a bad way. It's really put the hurt on folks. And if this funding is used effectively, if it's used in a targeted way to help the students who've been who've lost the most this year to get back into it, to catch up, that is a form of transformation back to the path that we want to be on, with all students getting the education and the support that they need.
One last thing I've got to ask. Anyone who's watched a kid try to deal with distance learning and being removed from their friends and stuck with their family all day knows what a lift this has been. At the same time, anyone who's overheard a distance learning class, or even more so, a teacher who's working with both distance learners and kids in person at the same time, can tell you that this is not typical. Have you heard of any schools addressing the psychological factors and the burnout that both students and teachers and administrators are dealing with?
I'm really glad you raised the experience of teachers in particular. I mean, no doubt for students, especially our younger students, Zoom classrooms are far from ideal, but it's also not what teachers signed up for. Teachers are in this to support students, to help kids learn. And it's really hard to do that over Zoom. We've seen poll numbers indicating that teachers' sense of their own success with students is plummeting. That's typically correlated with teacher turnover, teacher burnout, with folks leaving the profession. That's something we can't afford in Michigan. Turnover and other problems in the teacher pipeline were already really significant barriers to our success as a state in education. This is actually mentioned in the council's report. They call for new financial incentives to attract teachers to the profession and keep them there, things like loan forgiveness and scholarships, as a way of saying that the work that they do is valued and that the state really wants and needs to keep teachers in the classroom over the next couple of years as they work to bring students back to where they need to be.
Kobe Levin is a reporter with Chalkbeat Detroit. You can read his latest story on how schools might recover from the pandemic online. Kobe, it's a real pleasure hearing your voice again. Thanks.
Thank you so much.